Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If I could ask someone to pass out, and Mr. John's already started, if we could get someone on this side. I'd like to ask at this time if we have any visitors this morning. We'll start the section to my left. Do we have any first-time visitors?
I think Sarah has a visitor from Memphis. Jeanette, welcome.
Center section, do we have any first-time visitors? And the section to my right, do we have any first-time visitors with us this morning?
Maybe over here, Hal and Ashley are visitors, I think. They may have been here too, but I can't remember. Anyhow, welcome. First or third time, yeah. Okay.
Any others? Welcome, everyone. I'd like to take a moment, ask you to look in your bulletin, the announcements that we have. There's quite a few of them, a lot of activities going on. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Ms. Deborah.
Okay,
okay. Do we have any other announcements?
The session meets tonight, just to remind the session members. Normally three committees will meet: Christian Education, Building and Grounds, and Outreach. And those three normally meet. And talking to the chairperson, is another committee going to meet? Evangelism, Outreach. Okay. Jesus Christ, I think, in Latin. Somebody, is there Latin? I have to look it up, but look in your dictionary for those. It doesn't tell you. I think it's Jesus Christ. I can get that and have to look it up each time.
I think it's in Greek.
Greek? You think it's Greek? Maybe. But look in the dictionary. Write those down. Go look in your school dictionary to tell you. Okay?
Any other announcements, anyone?
The fourth.
Dickie has one.
Go ahead, Dickie.
We've got the photo directory, and we took pictures on the floor. Kind of fell apart. We're seeing some new members. Anyway, what we want to do is there's going to be a 25th anniversary celebration book. The celebration is on the 11th of September. And we're going to do photos here from 4 to 8:40, and also September 12th to 8:40. And this is going to be a professional group that does this. Everybody's going to get a free booklet, which before we won't have to pay the print when they be professionally done. Plus, you get one free 8x10. And then there'll be photos, there'll be professional photos. If you want to buy more, you can. That information is going to be available. It won't be a hard sell. So, anyway, that's the plan. And they'll come back again after the 12th if needed to finish out the photos.
There you go.
September the 14th is the first Wednesday after the celebration. We will start our Wednesday night activities again with supper each Wednesday night, possibly close to Thanksgiving it will run. The adults are going to try to go through the discernment list, this list here. That's been over the corner all summer, and we're going to pull this out, and we're going to work through the things that we felt as a congregation that God was pointing us in. One of the first things we're going to do is help discover our spiritual gifts. Maybe we'll have at least one class on spiritual gifts, discovering your spiritual gifts, maybe in the last 8 weeks, because we figured out it would take about that much time to see how to discover it and then plug it in through service. But that's again September the 14th. We're kind of bringing it to your attention and saying, be ready. Supper each night, like we did in the spring and fall.
Yeah. Any other announcements? Susan? Anyone else? Sam?
I have a new grandbaby. Tyrese Joanna. Born yesterday about 5 o'clock. 9 pounds and a half ounce. 23 inches. Don't have a post player.
Okay, let's move on to our prayer list. There's quite a few names on the prayer list. Ask that you take time to look at those. And also, at this time, if anyone would like to add a name to the prayer list, we'll take those from the congregation. Anyone? Becky.
Many have asked about Carol. She's in the choir this morning. She did everything but at home that she needed to do except cut the grass. If she gets the more started, maybe.
Mike?
I have two prayer questions. One of those is when you have loved ones pass and go on to glory, sometimes they leave lots of things behind and you don't always know what to do with them. But Mary Jo and I are happy that one of my co-workers came and met us yesterday. We went out to Amy and Mary's house and gave our Linda Merrill's organ away. She had an organ that she bought new a number of years ago. And this just tickled this lady to death. She's a single-parent mom. She has a son, 15-year-old son, and her daughter, Asia, I'm not sure if she's 7 or 8 years old, but she's learning to play the piano and the organ. And then, I'm thankful for that. And then I come in this morning and hear Savetta playing the organ here in the church, which has been idle for some months now, and it's wonderful. God does work, and He works in us, giving one away and then coming in and receiving the glorious music this morning, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you for letting me share.
Teresa.
Right. As you know, Prayer request, but also a praise. My father-in-law, Melvin Lutz, was hospitalized with a very bad heart attack Sunday night. We were given very little hope, and on Friday, a new surgeon was brought in and was able to put a stent in, and he now has, he went from 95% blocked to 95% usage of his heart, and he's coming home tomorrow. So.
Anyone else? Sarah Humphreys. If anyone else has one that you'd like to have put on the list, if you would write the name or the need on the index cards in the pew in front of you and drop them in the offering plate. Any others? At this time, we'd like to pause for a moment of silent prayer in preparation for worship. Amen. Call to worship this morning is a responsive reading, number 491 in your hymnal. Please join with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you.
For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 529.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, He'll sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one His loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Who any sorrows tears apart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Let's sing the chorus one more time without the piano. Smile won't hurt. Here we go.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
And let us pray. Lord God, we thank You. You've loved us. You've loved us, and You continue to love us when we are so unlovable. And Lord, You help to make us lovable. Thank You, Lord, for teaching us about love and enabling us to love You in return, for giving us a heart of love. Lord, we know that Your Word calls us over and over to love You and to love our fellow man. Thank You, Lord, that we can live in a loving community, a loving fellowship, and that we can know Your love and we can share Your love with one another. And also, most important, to love You in return. Thank You for this time to come apart to express our love before You. Come apart and be prepared, hopefully, Lord, to go back into the world and be more loving there. And now, Lord, we come praying the prayer that Your Son, who loved us so, and we love so, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, and it's also behind me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 399. Give me just a moment to testify. Our church is truly blessed. I tell people everywhere I go that our church is being blessed because we're reaching out. We're reaching out as far as Russia, Colombia, South America. Many of you know that we had the yard sale back in June to raise money for Tracy and Kelly and myself to go to South America. We were hoping we'd raise enough money for those three trips. In June, we raised enough money for four. Well, we still only have three going, but lo and behold, Wendy Skinner shows up, wants me to come and help her in Guatemala. And so I want to thank everybody that donated items. Nancy and I had a yard sale Friday and yesterday at our house with the stuff that was left over. We raised another $710. So I think if the Guatemala thing happens, then that's paid for too. So our church is truly blessed. We did all of that with the junk that y'all were probably going to throw away anyway. But anyway, the Lord's truly blessing us, and let's just keep receiving those blessings and passing them on. That's the thing about it. We're passing them on, so He's giving us more. So we're going to just keep on passing it on. Thank you, everybody. Higher Ground, First and Last.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on till higher. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane.
now, if you will, turn over to 524. I think this one will be a little bit familiar to some of us. Play those first two lines. I think they take off from there. First verse only.
My Father is on the earth, and that is every night. A God of might and miracles is written in the sky. In word of miracles, to touch the stars in place.
Children's time now with Miss Andrea. If the children would come down front, and there will be children's church afterwards.
Because when he was away, that means I won. I'm the alpha dog. 335 if you want to follow.
And by the way, I wanted to bring Chubby, but Larry thought it would be too much.
Our call to confession today comes from Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. Let us now pause to silently confess our sins. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Psalms 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Love is all you need.
Express our thanks to God through our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
except for the choir. Turn, if you will, now, please, to hymn 414. 414. Sing the first verse on it. Scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
You may have wondered if we got the wrong scripture lesson this morning. 2 weeks ago, we read the very same thing. We may use the same passage next week. We don't commit to that at this point in time, but that is a possibility. There are numerous parables about the kingdom of God. Matthew 13 has a bunch of them. You can find the others as you search throughout the Bible. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is thus and so. These are two short parables. Very short. And I see it as being about discovering the great prize of life. 2 weeks ago we talked about, or I talked about, and you listened, the value, the worth of being a part of the kingdom of God. We see that in these passages. This morning, let's think about how to discover, or how people discover, or how people come into the kingdom of God. I want to begin by saying, and the outline is there before you, that the church is not just another club or an organization. There are many clubs and organizations. There are enough of them going around. Most of us are probably members of one or two clubs right now. Many children growing up in school were taught to become a part of a club. One I think about is the 4-H Club. That's the early one that we get introduced to. How many former 4-H members do we have here this morning? Next comes along in the high school that I went to, ninth grade, you took vocational agriculture, like we were going to all be farmers. John took that. And to be a farmer, you had to belong to the Future Farmers of America. John and how many more? John's done raised his hand. And we had those blue corduroy coats with that bright yellow writing on them with our name and our school and all of that. And mine may be around somewhere. We don't know where. You've got yours. Oh, no. That's our classic. Yeah, okay. Clubs everywhere. Lions Club, big, very active here in this community, and thank you for all of your support there. If you are a member, if you're not a member. But the church is not just another club or an organization. The church is God's club. That makes it real special, very special. Organized and established by His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the Christian aspect of it. With a purpose. Even the Jewish religion, the Old Testament version as we look at it, of the church, of God's people together, they had their purpose of bringing people into fellowship with God. And that's what our purpose is, to bring people into fellowship with God, one way or another, to help people to come to a knowledge of God, a trust in God, a fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. We promote Jesus as the one that gets us to God. We do a lot more things, but it all points back to that one thing. To help seek and to save those who are out of fellowship with God or seeking to save the lost, as Jesus called them. If they were out of fellowship with God or not in fellowship with God, Jesus considered them lost. Lost to God's family, outside of God's family, like the prodigal son who had run off from his dad in Luke chapter 15. We find that parable, and we'll get around to that again one day, very possibly. God's club, organized, established by Jesus Christ to bring people to God, that they might live in fellowship with Him. The church. Some call it, but Paul referred to it as the bride of Christ. A she. The church. The church is the continuing work of Jesus in the world. The church is God's club. The church is the continuing work of Jesus in the world. You've heard it said often that Jesus has no hands at work in the world today, but our hands, the Christian's hands. He has no feet, but our feet. He chooses to do it that way. He has no mouthpiece or mouth or spoken ability, speaking ability, except ours. Because He chooses to use His people. He will empower them and speak through them to bring people into fellowship with God the Father. Membership in the church is the earthly portion of an eternal relationship, a forever relationship that begins here on earth when we put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and trust Him as our Savior, but it continues throughout all eternity. So we join God's club. It's forever. Forever and ever. Past this life. The parables. An interesting aspect of these parables, the parable of the hidden treasure, or you might call it the found treasure because it was found, but we usually refer to it as the hidden treasure. But the hidden / found treasure, the hidden treasure which became a found treasure, and the parable of the pearl of great price, when we consider these two together, it is revealed to us pretty plainly that everyone doesn't discover the kingdom of God in the same manner, the same way. Everyone doesn't meet Jesus the same way. We're all individuals. We're all different. And God works with us in different ways to meet our needs. He reveals Himself in ways that meets our particular personalities, our particular makeup. How are we different? DNA came about a number of years ago. I never heard of it. And Carol came home from court one day and said, "You know about this DNA? It's a finger better than a fingerprint." And I said, "No way." "Oh, yes. Watch CSI. It's always the DNA. And there's about 15 CSIs on, you know. Open your mouth. Let us get a swab and tell all about you." But fingerprints, they're still pretty helpful. Nobody has fingerprints alike. Is that right? Nobody has DNA alike. We're made uniquely. Why would anyone expect all of us have to come to Jesus exactly the same way, or make the discovery exactly the same way? How did God reveal Himself to you? Do you remember? How did God reveal Himself to you? How did it happen where He became so real to you and so compelling to you that you said, "I want to become a part of God's kingdom"? Do you remember? Do you remember that experience when you became a part of God's club? When you became a believer in Jesus Christ? How did God reveal Himself to you? Think about that a moment. And if you discuss that with five people, you'll probably come up with four different ways that God revealed Himself to you, or that you discovered the pearl of great price, or that you discovered the Savior. The Savior was never lost. We were lost, but we just didn't know where to look to find Him. And He was kind of waiting. Sometimes He was waving at us, "Hey, here I am." Many times He was. Jesus is. But we fail to recognize that that's Jesus. Maybe you haven't become a part of His kingdom yet. Maybe He is still dealing with you. Maybe He is still calling to you. Maybe He is still saying, "Hey folks, I'm right here. I'm not over there somewhere." And it doesn't have to be just like somebody else's. If you're not made up like that, it probably won't be. Maybe He is still calling you. And you say, "Well, it didn't happen like the Apostle Paul's experience. Or it didn't happen like Peter or James or John's experience." And so you say, "It couldn't be God." Well, it may be. But maybe He is still calling and challenging you. Listen. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Your call from God, or the way that you discovered God, may be like someone else's, or it may not be like someone else's experience. It may be unique to you, because you are unique. Somewhere along the way, I call that one unique. You're a unique. You'll remember that, won't you? You are unique. You are unique. You are different. And your call doesn't have to be like mine. Your discovery of God or your response to Him doesn't have to be like mine. We end up the same place in God's family. The parables, look at them again. Think of them. The finder of the treasure found the treasure as he went about his daily activity, or so it seems. As you compare it with this experience, with the experience of the finder of the pearl, it seems that he was going about his daily activity. There is no indication in this verse that he was looking for the treasure. Imagination.
preachers
have to have somewhat of a good imagination.
And so I imagine a lot. I imagine this finder of the buried treasure to be a farmer. And I imagine him plowing, walking behind a plow that was attached to a beast of burden or a plow animal, possibly an oxen. And he was plowing through the field, and there he plowed up a jar. And in that jar, a clay jar, and in it wasn't a tin can, wasn't a coffee can. That clay jar might have had coffee in the clay jar, but he plowed it up, and he realized what he had found. We might say, if that was the case, if my imagination is not too far flung, we might say that he stumbled upon the hidden treasure. But when he found it, though he probably wasn't looking for it, he was looking to get through plowing. When he found it, he recognized its value. He recognized that it was worth more than all else that he owned. So he goes, he hides it again, he goes home and sells all else that he owns and buys the field, and therefore he obtains the treasure because he buys everything in the field. He buys the treasure in the field. 2 weeks ago we talked about the importance of being in the kingdom, the most important thing in our life, and that's what this story tells us as he went home and sold all he had and bought it. The kingdom of God is worth more than all else that we own. Being in God's club, if you will. Once Jesus asked the question, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" You know, the man could have said, "I'd like to have that treasure, but I just can't give up that piece of ground back home. I like that old house that I'm living in. It's not much, but it's mine." He didn't say that. He said, "I found it. Eureka! A great discovery, the greatest discovery. Wasn't even expecting it, but here it is." And he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Some people have said, "I can't follow Jesus." One, a rich young ruler, said, "I can't follow Jesus because I like this stuff too much. Jesus is not that important. I can't be on my way to heaven according to Jesus' plan because I like this stuff too much." The obvious answer is that we have profited nothing if we gain the whole world and lose our soul. The finder of the pearl. He found the pearl, a pearl of great price, a most valuable pearl. He found it as he was looking. The first man found it, kind of stumbled upon it, the treasure. This one, the pearl finder, found it as he was looking for pearls. That was his goal. And I can imagine that he, as he searched for pearls and bought pearls, that one pearl he kept hoping for. That very special pearl that was better than all the other pearls that he had ever found. That one special pearl. The new quarters came out. Rowena's mother needed a Texas quarter. And I kept getting South Carolina quarters and Mississippi quarters and Tennessee quarters. And I kept wanting to find that one or those two Texas quarters. I'm sure before I found two Texas quarters and got them to Rowena to pass on to her mother that they had already had a handful. It took me about 3 months to do that. But I kept looking. And I can relate that to that
pearl finder. He'd go and look at some pearls and he'd say, there's got to be one that's special in this batch. Or this man's got to own one that's real special. That was his goal. He wanted to discover that super valuable pearl. And he did. And Jesus said, that's the kingdom of God is like a man who does that. He discovers the greatest thing in life and he goes and sells all that he has and he bought it. He recognized its worth and he gave all else up for it. Let's look at some examples of some people who found the kingdom of God, entered into the kingdom of God. First, let's look at those who discovered entrance into the kingdom of God, or God calling them, or in the Christian sense, discovered Jesus as they went about their daily activity. Gideon. When's the last time you heard about Gideon? You probably heard about him last when the Gideon came to spoke at your church. And that's been a long time here. But Gideon, back in the 6th chapter of Judges, one of the judges of Israel, before they had kings, Gideon is one who heard and responded to God's call as he went about his daily task. He was down in the wine pit threshing wheat. He was threshing wheat in the wine pit because he was trying to hide from the Midianites. And the Midianites, they were in the habit of coming and stealing everything that the Israelites owned. So they kind of hid and got down in the wine pit and was threshing his wheat. And God came and spoke to him as he went about his daily activity. I can see that is about like somebody out plowing in a field or pouring concrete. Or Steve Alamore was bragging about or complaining. He's not here to defend himself or to explain which one. He was here earlier. He was talking about loading hay yesterday. What a day to pick up square bales of hay. Did anybody else do that? Huh? Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine pit or wine press, trying to hide. So the air was probably cut off, and God came and spoke to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, God spoke to an angel, and called him to lead the Israelites to freedom, to redemption, to overthrow the Midianites. Gideon started out by saying, well, God, I'm not from a fancy, a renowned family. I'm not from a royalty. I'm just a simple person. He argued and argued, but God kept after him, and Gideon finally said yes. And God used him mightily in leading Israel for a long period of time. Another one is the Apostle Paul. I know you're saying he never preaches a sermon unless he mentions the Apostle Paul. Well, maybe not. Paul was going along doing bad things. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, or those who followed the way, Jesus being the way. And as he walked the road, Jesus came to him in a vision and spoke to him and called him to service. That service being, go and proclaim Jesus. Go and teach Jesus. Go and preach Jesus. Go and build individual congregations throughout the Mediterranean area. Now that's a strange way to meet God. On your way to rob a bank, or on your way to kill somebody, or to arrest them, on your way as a bounty hunter, and here God gets your attention and says, you got a new job. You need to believe in me. And before 5 days were over, or was it 3 days, Ananias had come to him and blessed him, and he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Went off for 3 years and stayed in Arabia and got trained or meditated upon it and came back and went to work, establishing congregations everywhere he went. Even when somebody would run him out of town, he'd go to the next town and establish another one. Paul the Apostle was going about his daily activities of being a mean guy. The people he was with when Stephen was there, he held their coats while they stoned Stephen to death. And the next trip Paul was on, God, through Jesus, got a hold of him, had an encounter with him. Paul discovered the pearl of great price, Jesus. And then there were the fishermen who became disciples. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and on with other disciples. And then I liked the Matthew. Matthew was going about his daily activity, not a very popular guy, had turned against his own people, collecting taxes for the occupying armies or the occupying people. And Jesus walked by that tax collector's table and said, "Matthew, come with me." Wow, Matthew left and followed Jesus. Another one is the jailer at Philippi. Paul and Silas were in jail. In Acts chapter 16, this jailer was at work trying to guard his prisoners. What a place for God to come and reveal himself to you. And God came and, well, the jail fell apart first. That was God's doing, was it not? There was a great earthquake. The jail fell apart. The doors came open. The jailer looked around and the doors were open, and where were his prisoners? Had they gone? And he began to seeking how to save his own neck in the embarrassment of coming before the authorities because they were going to kill him. If he lost the prisoners, he would pay in their stead. And Paul and Silas lead him to Jesus who saved him. Now, all of these were going about their daily activities, on their job, so to speak, and Jesus came to them and revealed himself. So, but that's not the way everybody has Jesus revealed to them. Zacchaeus, you remember Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed up in the sycamore tree? It was the sycamore tree, wasn't it? Okay, he climbed up in the tree because he heard that Jesus was coming and he knew Jesus was important and he wanted to find him. He knew that Jesus was valuable to him. It was worth something for him to meet Jesus. So he goes and climbs up in this tree seeking Jesus like the finder of the pearl. He was seeking. He wanted to see him. He didn't want to miss him. And Jesus walked by and there he met him. Jesus looked up and spoke to him and called him down, and Jesus went home with him, and conversions, commitments, membership in God's club. See, some stumble upon Jesus. Others seek him. Others seek him. But he receives all who come to him. Jesus said, Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 37, "Those who come to him, he will cast no one away." Or he will receive all who comes to him. Isn't that lovely? If we just go to Jesus, he says, "I'll take you into God's family." God's club. God's club. Romans chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. And I like this verse. God says, "I reveal myself to those who did not ask for me, and I was found by those who did not seek me." That sounds like the man plowing in the field. But he also receives those who seek after him. How did you discover the kingdom of God? How did you discover Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? All in a day's activity? A normal day's activity? Or maybe you were seeking him. Or maybe someone came seeking you on behalf of Jesus, looking for you and inviting you to come into God's club, if you will. Maybe you're still seeking. Maybe you're not yet a part of God's kingdom. And maybe your presence here today says something about you seeking to be a part of His kingdom. You can become a member of the kingdom by acknowledging your need of a Savior and trusting Jesus to save you. Let's sing together 484. We say sing all verses. It's kind of a marching song, but it's a commitment song. And it's an invitation song also. Let's stand together. And if you're not on the Lord's side, if you're not in God's club, this will be a good time to trust Jesus publicly. Express that trust publicly. And claim Him as your Lord and your Savior. And unite with His club. 484. All the verses.
Who has now departed in peace? Thank you.